Topic of this morning's sermon is The Lord is My Shepherd. If you would, take your Bibles and open them to Psalms, the 23rd chapter. Most of us have heard this scripture many times in our lives, and most of us can quote it without even looking at it. But isn't this a comforting statement to know that the Lord is our shepherd? Psalms 23, 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalms 23, 1 through 6. Now, if you would, stick a piece of paper or your finger at this, because we're going to keep coming back and forth to this verse or this scripture. We see here a divine position, and this is: the Lord is my shepherd. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We that are Christians know Jesus' voice. We know it through the scriptures. And if we're true and faithful Christians, we follow. Hebrews 13:20 refers to him as the great shepherd of the sheep. And now turn over to Mark 6:34. Mark 6:34. And Jesus, when he came out and saw much people, and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Mark 6:34. Think about the way the world was without a shepherd. Everybody went and did pretty much what they wanted to do. But we now have a shepherd, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He guides us and directs us. We see here in the second part of Psalms 23:1, we see a divine provision. I shall not want. You know, Matthew 5:6, which is one of the Beatitudes, said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, we should not have a need for anything. Now turn over to Matthew 6. I'll be reading verses 25 through 33. Matthew 6:25-33. This shows us why that we do not need to want anything. Now Matthew 6:25-33. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, or what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. For is not the life more than the meat, and the body than the raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you, that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the fields, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6, 25-33. You know, if we truly accept Jesus as our shepherd, what did the shepherd do? When the flocks, the grazing got thin, he would move them to a better grazing area. He knew when they were thirsty, so he would go take them and feed them drink. He knew what they needed, and he took care of them. If we accept Jesus truly as our Savior, we don't need to be wanting for things. God will provide for us. We see in Psalms 23, the second part of verse 2, we see a divine progression. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Think about how comforting this statement is that I'm fixing to read. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Isn't this a wonderful and comforting statement? To know that Jesus himself told us that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And so many in the world today want us to think that the Bible and the Word of God is so confusing, but it is not. 1 Corinthians 14, 34. 1 Corinthians 14, 34. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians 14, 34. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. If we study our Bibles and are sincere, the Bible is not confusing, and it truly will give us peace. We see in Psalms 23 and verse 3, we see a divine physician. Because Psalms 23:3 says, he restoreth my soul, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There is no one on the face of this earth that can restore our souls but Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the only one. I don't care what you've done in your life. your soul can be restored if you repent. If you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, you repent of all of them past sins, and when we repent, we turn away from them and we head towards God. And when we're baptized with Him, putting Him on in a watery baptism, we come up out of that baptism a new person, like I preached last week. Our souls are restored. Psalms 51, 1 through 2. Psalms 51, 1 through 2. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from thine iniquities, and cleanse me from my sins. Psalms 51, 1 through 2. When we're baptized in Christ, we are cleansed from all of our sins. Matthew 9:12. Here we see Jesus is answering a question that the Pharisees had put to his disciples. Because they had asked in the verse before this, why eateth your master with the publicans and the sinners? And now Matthew 9:12 says, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. We talked about this in our Bible class this morning. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Those that are whole need not a physician, but the sick. And everyone on the face of this earth was sick at one time before they were baptized. We see here in Psalms 23 and verse 4, we see a divine presence. Psalms 23:4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. How comforting a statement is that? No matter what we go through in life, we don't have to worry, because the Lord is our shepherd. Hebrews 13:5-6. Hebrews 13:5-6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Hebrews 13:5-6. We don't have to worry about anything that man can do to us. Why should we? Matthew 10:28 says, and fear not them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 10:28. There is not a man on the face of this earth, not a being one on the face of this earth, that can destroy our soul. Well, let me take that back. We are able to destroy ourselves. We as individuals can destroy ourselves, but no one else can destroy it. This is why we need to obey God. Because if we don't obey God, He can destroy both body and soul in hell. And like I've said before, hell is for all of eternity. And I can never say, never ever enough to show how long eternity is. The amount of time that this earth has been in existence is still but a blink of an eye compared to eternity. And the amount of time that we've spent on this earth is nothing compared to eternity. We see in Psalms 23, in the first part of verse 6, we see a divine providence. Psalms 23, the first part of 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of our lives." Is this not what we want? Do each and every one of us here not want goodness and mercy to follow us all the days of our lives? Like I've said earlier about the shepherd, he took care of those sheep. David, before he went up against Goliath, they questioned him about his ability to go up against Goliath. And he said, "When I tended my father's sheep, I killed a lion and a bear with my slingshot." If the Lord's our shepherd, like I said, we have nothing to worry about. We will be taken care of. Romans 8:28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose." Romans 8:28. We have a purpose here on life as Christians, and that's spreading the word of God. Luke 1:50. This talks about his mercy is on us. Luke 1:50 says, "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. If we fear him, we will keep his commandments." And we will have goodness and mercy all of our days if we walk according to his rules. Galatians 6:16. "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be unto them, and mercy upon the Israel of God." Galatians 6:16. We are the children of God today. We are the Israel of God today because we obey his commandments. Another beatitude, Matthew 5:7. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." We have to give mercy in order to receive mercy. If we want God to have mercy on us, we must show mercy to others. We sang the song this morning, "Why You Never Mentioned Him to Me." Is that not going to be a sad thing to hear when we get to heaven on Judgment Day and have our neighbors, our family members, our close friends say, "Why did you not ever mention him to me?" I think that would make me want to shrink down so small that I could just crawl in a crack somewhere. We see in Psalms 23:6, the latter part, a divine prospect. Psalms 23:6, the last part of the chapter says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Before everyone got here this morning, Ed and I was talking, and I said, you know, sometimes I wish I could just come in this church building and live here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and not even have to deal with the world out there. But that's not the way it was intended for us. We're to be in the world, not part of the world. John 14, 1 through 3. John 14, 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, also believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14, 1 through 3. Jesus is coming again one day. We don't know when, but he is coming again. And if we're true and faithful Christians, he has prepared a place for us in heaven. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. 2 Corinthians 6:16. God will do this if we're faithful to him. If we are worshiping idols, he is not going to dwell in us, and we're not going to be dwelling in him. We need to trust in God as our shepherd. We have free will. We talked this morning in Bible class about Calvinism. Any of you that do not know what Calvinism is, Calvinists believe that we're all predestined. That God has already chosen certain people to be saved and certain to be lost. But if that was true, there would be no free will. And God gave every one of us free will to make our own choices. The only thing that's going to condemn us to be lost is us. The only thing that is going to save us is us, the individual. We should not have any need for wants if the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord can restore our souls, but you must obey him. If you've never obeyed the gospel, then you must obey. Like I said earlier, you must confess Christ as the Son of God. You must repent of your sins. You must put him on in a watery baptism. If you're a Christian and you hadn't been living like a Christian should, you too can have your soul restored by praying and asking God to forgive you. You may need the congregation to pray for you, to give you strength, to ask for forgiveness. If the Lord is with us, we should have no fear of evil. Do you want goodness and mercy all the days of your life? Then dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Will you let the Lord be your shepherd? The plan of salvation is you must hear the gospel. Mark 16:15. You must believe the gospel. Mark 16:16. Repent of all of your sins. Luke 13:3. Confess Christ as the Son of God. Matthew 10:32. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Matthew 28:18-20. Be faithful to the end of your life. 1 Corinthians 15:58. If you do this, the Lord can be your shepherd. Wouldn't that be a great and glorious thing? We that are true and faithful Christians should be thanking God every day of our life that He is our shepherd and that He takes care of us. And that we have no need for these things that we talked about. We don't have to fear evil. We don't have to have the wants of the world. If we can help you anyway spiritually this morning, please come as we stand and as we sing.